This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan NCAA tournament action underway tonight with a couple of play-in games, two more tomorrow, and then the official dance party underway on Thursday. Joining us now is quite a veteran of the tournament. Final Four in both his freshman and junior seasons, great career at North Carolina and in the NBA, including winning it all with your Dallas Mavericks in 2011. It's Brendan Haywood here on The Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, Brendan. It's good to reminisce perhaps on that run in 2011 because Mavs fans are down bad right now. Do you have any words of encouragement?
I wish I could tell you times are going to get better, but they're not. It's real tough. It's real tough right now. Obviously, the trade happened, and then the injuries to AD. He only plays a half. Kyrie has the unfortunate ACL tear. Gafford goes down. So, man, like right now, man, Mavs fans are down because this started out as a team that everybody thought could possibly compete for a title. And even after the trade, there were still a lot of experts that thought this team could compete for a title, and it just, because of the injuries, never materialized.
Do you think it could next year?
It's going to be tough. Kyrie coming off an ACL the first year. It's going to be tough. I'm not sure if he's going to be ready, when he's going to be ready. These young teams are getting better. Like a team like OKC, if a Jalen Williams has a big time coming out party in the playoffs, that pretty much solidifies OKC for the next 3 to 4 years because now you'll have Shea, his true running mate, and they got so much young talent and draft capital on that team. So I'm not sure where it's going to go right now. I can honestly say that. But I still love my Mavs, and I'm hoping for the best.
Right on. Appreciate your honesty and that great work you put in back there in 2011. Now, what do you think about the controversy around your North Carolina Tar Heels getting in the tournament here with their lack of quad one wins? Do you think they deserve to be in?
Listen, man, at the end of the day, sometimes it's not what you deserve. It's just what you get. And they got in. There's a lot of people complaining. It don't matter. They in there. The governor of West Virginia is going on TV making press releases. He has to have better use of his time. There has to be more pressing issues in West Virginia. That's just all I'm saying. Yep. Carolina's in. If you watch the way they played down the stretch, they won 8 out of their last 10 games. They've made changes to the starting lineup. since they've made those changes, they've been playing excellent basketball, and I expect them to go out there and win tonight. Hubert Davis gets to use all this negativity as fuel. Take that, put a battery in his team's back, and hopefully that'll lead to a win tonight and a couple of more in the NCAA tournament as they shock the world and shut everybody up.
Hey, Brendan, I was going to ask you this, though. So many of these metrics and stuff measure teams, but the one I kind of find interesting is just the damn eye test. What teams in this tournament fit your eye the best?
All of the number one seeds. This is the greatest group of number one seeds I've ever seen. Most of the time, we have some number one seeds that are flawed. Like, sure. you have a team, you'd be like, oh, this is a number one seed, but you'll be like, yeah, they average 90 points, but they can't defend. Or you'll be like, oh, yeah, this is a number one seed, and they can defend, but they can't score. This year, all of the number one seeds they can score the basketball, they have guard play where those guards can boogie, and they can also defend. Like, we're seeing these elite defensive clubs, but the roster is completely built out. They got defensive players as well. Like, you look at Florida, Duke, Houston, Auburn. This is probably the greatest collection of number ones that I've seen. So if you're filling out a bracket, I ain't saying take all the number ones, but don't get too far away from them. Don't be afraid to go with a lot of chalk.
You think this could be Houston's year?
It could be any of them's year. Like I said, Houston definitely has the talent to do so. Like I said, Houston could definitely do it. And then, like I said, I love the fact that they all defend. On nights where Houston can't throw it in the ocean, they can win a game in the 50s. That means something. Because when you're a top-seeded team, you get into a really close game, the whole building turns against you. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, both teams are playing tight. But you're not going to be tight on defense. You might be tight making shots. That defense travels. On a night where you're only shooting 17% from three, you go out there and you make sure that they don't have a big night from three and you still win that game. Houston possesses that type of power. Kelvin Sampson, incredible basketball coach. They could definitely win it.
It's Brendan Haywood here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Take us back to your time at North Carolina. What sticks out most to you about your Final Four experiences?
Man, just two different Final Four teams. My freshman year, we were kind of favored, one of the better teams all year long. Getting a chance to play with great guys like Antoine Jamison, Vince Carter, Shamon Williams. Like, we really had a lot of talent on that team. I actually really disappointed that I'm still disappointed that team didn't win a championship just because of how good we were. And then my junior year, we were on a team that a lot of people we kind of resembled this year's Carolina team. A lot of people didn't think we should have made the tournament. We go on to upset Missouri with Kareem Rush. We go on to knock off Stanford with the Collins twins and Mark Madsen and run past Tennessee, and we go to the Final Four. So that team had a special place in my heart as well because we did what a lot of people thought we couldn't do. I just wish one of those teams would have been able to get a championship. Then I would have had a championship at all three levels, college, pro, and high school.
Brendan, a lot of the focus is, and the kind of a fun story has been what St. John's has been able to do with Rick Pitino. Where do you put Rick Pitino as far as the all-time college coaches?
Right up there with the greats. He's elite. He's won championships. He's somebody that understands the game of basketball. And what I love about Rick Pitino is his style can change.
Sure.
Like, I'll give you an example, and this is no disrespect to this guy, but I'm just using it for an example. Like, Jim Boeheim is a great coach, but he just ran zone for years.
Sure.
Rick Pitino would change his style. Like, hey, I'm at Kentucky, we full court press it. Then you might get a team that we don't got that type of talent, I'm going to pull it back. Hey, I might press you and drop back into a little bit of a zone. You know what I'm saying? I might run he just understands how to play. He doesn't play to his ideals. He plays to the strength of his team. And I really love that about Rick Pitino. I also love the fact that Rick Pitino isn't one of these old school coaches complaining about the guys getting paid.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard to recruit now. Well, the guys should have been getting paid, okay? Yeah, it's harder now. Listen, put your big boy pants on or get out the way. And we've seen a lot of old dogs get out the way. Rick Pitino's like, nah, I understand how the game is played. I'm going to play the NIL game. I'm going to recruit in the transfer portal. I'm going to go do what I got to do. And I'm going to turn St. John a once dead program. The Johnny's been dead for a long time, and I'm going to make him respectable. And I'm going to make him respectable again. So I have nothing but respect for Rick Pitino.
Former Mav, former Tar Heel, Brendan Haywood with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Brendan, how much cursing did you do at your television screen the other night when your guy Jalen Withers had that lane violation at the end of the tournament game?
Man, listen, just know this. If you're a friend of mine and I send you a picture of Withers, that just means I'm telling you to stay in your lane. Stay in your lane, man. Oh, my goodness. I feel bad because in today's day and age, like, I know he was getting it on Twitter. I know Facebook, Instagram. Yeah. He's getting all types of rude DMs. So I'm not going to say anything negative about that young man. It's a mistake. He knows it was a mistake, and I just hope he learns from it and makes up for it in the NCAA tournament.
Now, Tar Heel biases aside, how incredible is this Cooper Flagg?
He's incredible. And the biggest thing about Cooper Flagg is not his offense. On a night where Cooper Flagg is 3 of 14, you'll look at the stat sheet, you'll be like, well, he has 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 blocks, and 4 steals. And he'll go out there and guard the team's best player. Like, he just has so he has versatility defensively, too. He'll guard a point guard. He'll switch off, guard a big, guard a small forward, guard a wing. Like, the kid's incredible, man. He just really, really he has a great feel for the game. He's going to be a very good pro. Some people throw around the term generational. I think that's going too far. Because generational is something that you really haven't seen before. We've seen 6'8", 6'9", guys with versatility. But Wimby's generational. You know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron's generational. Kevin Durant was generational. I think Cooper Flagg is incredible. And I think that he's going to be a really, really good pro. And listen, because of him and how well Duke defends, I think they have a good chance to win the NCAA tournament this year.
We're talking hoop here with Brendan Haywood with you on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, speaking of friends, Jesse Holly, who was there at UNC right after you, he texted in to say that he's glad we've classed up the program by having a Tar Heel on the show.
Hey, Holly's my guy, man. He has one of the best personalities you ever gonna find, man. Holly's an incredible guy.
Yeah, and I believe he was a high school champion as well. I guess you guys had a pretty good squad in high school, though.
Yeah, I mean, we had me and another guy, Vincent Witt. He ended up going to Clemson. I had a pretty good squad in high school. I think the year we won the state championship, we ended up ranked like top 15 nationally, and that means a lot for a public school.
Hey, is Michael Jordan cool to all you guys, or is he a bully like he came off like maybe in that Last Dance and some of the stories on how he can be?
Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. Like, he's not a bully. He's not just going to be running around here shaking hands and kissing babies. If he walks into the room, he wants to compete, whether it's gambling, shooting competitions, joking around. But he's pretty much been a great guy to all the Carolina guys. When he came back and played pickup, he wasn't trying to bully us. He was just out there playing. He was killing too, killing. Oh my goodness! the day Mike came back, showed me who Mike really was. Because at that point, Jerry Stackhouse really used to like dominate the pickup at UNC. He was playing for, I think, like the 76ers at the time, and he used to just come back and Stack was the man. And Mike just came back, took over the pickup games. I think his team lost like the first one, and then he never lost for the rest of the day. And he was talking to Jerry. He was getting the better of him. We weren't used to seeing nobody talk to Jerry. Because, you know, you talk to Stack, man, he might put the balls on you. So we weren't used to seeing that. And he just killed the whole day. And I remember after his team won like 8 games in a row, I was like, man, he wasn't playing basketball at that point. I said, man, how long have you been training, man? Are you coming back or something? He said, no, man, I ain't touched the basketball in 2 years. So that's what I knew Mike was that guy, man.
Was that before he went to the Wizards, came back to the Wizards, or was that after?
No. This was before. Okay. So, like, this is, like, when he retired, like, in that span before the Wizards. Mm-hmm. Like, he hadn't picked up a basketball in 2 years, happened to just figure he's going to come back and play some pickup with the current guys on the team. Wow. And he was out here killing.
Hey, Brendan.
Late 30s, ain't picked up a ball in 2 years, giving everybody the blues.
Hey, Brendan, it sounded like to me, like you say, you bleed that Carolina blue. And this might be a kind of a different question for you, but what about Bill Belichick showing up there for your athletic program?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that's going to work. You know, I don't know Bill Belichick, obviously, personally.
Sure.
But, you know, recruiting is so much about nowadays the NIL. But then, you know, relating to the younger guys and the younger generation and some of the best coaches, you know, they can go out there and have a conversation about what's going on in the hip-hop world. Like, hey, what's going on? They can talk to you about what's going on with Drake and Kendrick Lamar and relate to the guys in the locker room. By all accounts, Bill ain't that guy. So I want to – it's going to be interesting to see how that meshes. I'm glad that he's there. The Carolina fan base is really rallying behind him. And I know one thing. They're going to be one of the most prepared teams in college basketball. But I want to see how he's going to handle the other stuff. Like, yeah. You know, the phone calls in the middle of the night because player X, Y, and Z was somewhere where he wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because it's different in the NFL. It's grown men as opposed to the – in college, you got to manage these young guys.
How about the impressive flexibility in those weekend photos we saw him on the beach with his young girlfriend?
Hey, man, I ain't touching that. Y'all ain't going to get me in trouble. I'm leaving that one off. Hey, Bill, hey, listen, Bill, do your thing, baby. Bill, do your thing. I'm going to leave that one alone.
Hey, we hear some crazy stories about Shaquille O'Neal and the way he used to treat some of his teammates by way of pranking them. Seemed like he crossed the line in a big way. Are you familiar with some of these stories? Who was the biggest prankster? Were you a prankster? I'm blown away at some of these Shaq stories.
Yeah, I've heard some of them because obviously I played with Tyronn Lue, so I heard about, like, Shaq, you know, maybe taking a boo-boo in somebody's shoe and they put the shoe on and these type of things. I'm trying to probably the biggest prankster I played with was Gilbert Arenas. He would prank some of our young guys. I think the best prank that I saw him pull was we had a guy by the name of Avi Story. He only played in the league for a couple of years, but him and Gilbert were friends, and he pranked him by having somebody in the middle of practice come in and take the wheels off his car, and then he sent him on a treasure hunt around the building to find where the wheels were placed.
A classic. That's a good prank right there. Shaq was crossing the line, right? I mean, you don't do the booty mouthpiece and give it to your teammate.
I mean, you do if you don't feel that they can beat you up. I mean, that's just what it comes down to, man. What you gonna do with Shaq? It's like, you just got to deal with it.
Ultimate trump card, Brendan. Amazing stuff as always. You're the best. Good luck to your heels in the tournament. We look forward to chatting hoop with you again soon.
I appreciate it.
There he goes, Brendan Haywood. There. With you on the fan.
Boo boo shoe is hilarious.
That man said boo boo. Oh, yeah. Shaq took a boo boo. A boo boo. He's 45 years old talking about boo boo.
Brendan Haywood brought to you by Bet Online.
Respectfully.
Yeah, I didn't know that as a player. He was so hilarious. You know, guy had jokes the entire time. You know, just go warm up to him a little bit more, I guess.
I guess so.
No, but he's doing a great job there with Bet Online and all his different broadcast responsibilities. So thanks to him. And it'll be really interesting to track that UNC storyline. Can they make a run and sort of silence the critics? Like, I think they were like 1-12 against the quad one teams this year, Brian.
Yeah, they had some losses, though, against some really, really good teams, though.
Yeah.
And they just but what's happened, too, if you kind of track this, these play-in teams,
mm-hmm.
find a way to win a couple of games along the way. So, you know, keep an eye on whoever those play-in teams are. They seem to this, you know, the desperation of having to play seems to kind of buoy them into winning some other games. So it's happened every year. North Carolina might be that team.
The Cowboys have lost Zach Martin, Tank, Jordan Lewis, a few other players, and they have brought in a whole mess of other guys to try to replace them. Have they actually made themselves better? Somebody has measured that. We'll get you their report and more coming up next here in the C-Note. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan.